This is Marketplace Money from APM. I'm Barbara Bogave. All right, with taxes behind us, let the fiscal spring cleaning and rug thumping continue. For me, that means opening up a 529 college savings plan for my daughter. Yep, the one who just called at the top of the show. What about you?
I think spring cleaning is both a physical and kind of metaphorical thing, where some people like to think of the new year as being a time when you really think about it. I think when the weather starts getting nice, you want to clean out your apartment, you want to think about things you want to do this summer, when its ability to be much more active and things like that. So what do we really want to do this summer? Where do we want to travel? Like, what kind of activities? What are things in D.C. have we not done yet? That's the kind of thing in terms of when I think of spring cleaning, I think of it's almost like turning over a bit of a new leaf as well as cleaning out the old stuff.
I think I want to be more frugal in areas that aren't as important to me and have more money to buy really good produce, not going out to restaurants, you know, and, you know, really evaluating, do I really need to buy any new clothes, even though I did lose weight, things don't fit me quite as well, but it's like, do I really care, you know? So just trying to make priorities and be a grown-up. I'm 53 now, so I figure it's about time.
Well, I really don't do spring cleaning. I clean all the time. You know, I have a household of six, so I clean all the time.
That's Marcia Anderson in Washington, D.C., along with Zach Pleasant and Diane Ligon in New York City. If only we were all like Marcia, right, and cleaning up our finances all the time. But when you do finally get around to it, one of the first things you need to do is take a hard look at your savings and investments. And that can be traumatic. So we've invited Dr. Richard Peterson to join us. He's a psychiatrist and investment advisor with the firm Market Psych. He has some advice on how to revamp your portfolio. Welcome, Richard.
Thank you.
So many of our experts who come on this show tell us that we should rebalance our portfolios more than once a year. But let's say you're like me and you've let it go for a while. Where should you start?
The funny thing about tax season is it gives us that chance to go over the past year and to see where the leakage was in our portfolio and our finances and where things are going well, where they're not going well.
Okay, assuming you have it all laid out before you on the floor on your computer, what are the basics that everyone should reevaluate? And I'm assuming you're going to start with, say, an emergency fund.
There's the ideal world of what we do with our saving, and then there's the reality. And I think most people live in reality. So while we say we should save, say, 12% of our income and put that away in an emergency fund, the reality is most people are struggling to pay off credit card debt. So there's the reality of, should you maximize your 401k and at the same time be paying interest on your credit cards? And of course not. You know, we should pay off that credit card. And there are different ways of looking at this. And in my opinion, it's got to start little step by little step. If you're running behind on saving money, the only way to catch up is to take one controllable small action. Increase your saving by 1% this month, something along those lines. The reality, though, is it's just like dieting, just like New Year's resolutions. We start out on a big grand plan. This year, I will save 12% every month. And then at the end of the month, we think, oh, no, this isn't going to work. And we shoot it all, and we're just on our credit card debt again.
Given that this is going to be different depending on where you are in life in terms of age and marital status and employment history and all that, what are the red flags? How do you prioritize cleaning up the portfolio?
There's sort of two conversations. There's, do we have savings and are able to manage it in a portfolio? And then there's, as I mentioned, credit card debt, for example. So let's assume that you've got your portfolio and you've got investments, for example, and you've got a 401k and maybe some mutual funds for your work. And I think a lot of people see red flags as decline in value, when in fact, that's not a red flag. Real investments that have real risk are often the ones that tend to perform best over time. The red flags are when you make investment choices based on your enthusiasm or your excitement about something. Enthusiasm and excitement, or the obviousness of an investment, those are always bad signs. The markets are paradoxical. They tend to be contrarian. The best investments are not those that hit you in the face and they say, put your money here. They're the ones that say, that don't say anything and are hiding in the corner and they look kind of depressing. That's usually the best investment. So if you can find those, that's really what you need to be looking for.
Well, while we're talking about emotions and money, how do you deal with an investment that you're psychologically attached to, so you don't really have that objectivity to reassess it?
Wow. Well, psychological attachment to an investment, Akash, it's so common. The way that you can break free of the attachment to an investment is to start looking at the investment analytically in terms of the numbers behind it. The P/E ratio is X. The management has been in place for 5 years. The margins on their products are declining and are only 5%. Looking at the numbers is what will allow you to break free of that. When you look at the other characteristics like, oh, I love that product they make. Man, that tablet is so exciting. Oh, it's so beautiful. When you look at it emotionally, then you build that attachment. So you have to try to detach.
You know, my tendency is always to simplify everything, consolidate my accounts and that kind of behavior in the spring. Is that a good way to think about this kind of fiscal cleaning?
I think for most people, and probably you as well, when we're doing taxes and we're focusing on those details, it's a little bit stressful. And the funny thing about stress is it makes us more detail-oriented. When we're feeling a little bit down or a little bit pessimistic, the way our brains change, in fact, literally, we release chemical stress hormones that cause our attention to become more focused and more focused on details. We become very good at that. So when we're doing taxes and we're complaining about the government taking such a big share and, oh my gosh, I can't believe I couldn't save enough, that kind of negativity actually makes our minds clearer about exactly what's happening. It makes us easier to focus on the details. So in terms of tax season being a good time to lay out long-term plans, it generally is because we're more realistic. We have to deal with the real numbers, and we're able to focus on those details at like no other time.
Dr. Richard Peterson is a psychiatrist and investment advisor with the firm MarketPsych. Great to talk with you. Thank you.
Thanks. Take care.